And welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. This is your hour of mind power, and we join you every day with interesting people, with interesting stories to share so that your life is going to be inspired and you'll make your day a very special one. I have with us today a gentleman, Larry Ackerman. We have a provocative title in that it creates curiosity, and it is the title of The Identity Code. Sound mysterious? Well, it could be. In fact, the greatest mystery would be about you. Yes, because this is about 8 essential questions for finding your purpose and place in the world. Larry, I want to welcome you to the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Donna. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, it's my delight. Now, Larry, where are you located?
I'm in Connecticut, in the Westport area.
Westport, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Well, here you are with a very unique twist on self-examination of ourselves as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a journey for any one of us.
Oh, yeah, it is indeed. It is the journey.
It's the journey.
Yeah.
All right. So how did you discover the journey for you?
Well, my story begins when I was very, very young. In fact, I was 4 years old, and I was in the hospital to get some surgery for an eye correction for being cross-eyed. And it's an intense story, Donna. During the course of the surgery, I unfortunately was awake longer than I should have been, and I was observing all around me what was going on. Again, I'm a little toddler, not really understanding everything, but in the course of that experience, as I began to get more panicked and I realized that my mom and my dad were not going to be there to, in essence, to save me from this strange experience, I asked myself, sort of obviously unconsciously, but I asked myself a vital question. And the question was, what is so wrong with me that I must be changed from who I am? And again, there I am, 4 years old, lying on the operating table, strapped down, unable to move, absolutely panicked, and not at all understanding what was happening to me. And when I asked myself that question, or at the moment I asked myself that question, almost unable to breathe because of the oxygen mask and so on, I really had a moment of extraordinary clarity, which was almost in the sense of experiencing a form of death, realized that who I was as a human being was the most essential thing that there was to know. Again, I am 4 years old. And ever since that experience and ever since that day, my understanding of simply being alive,
mm-hmm.
my understanding of identity has been the center of my life.
You have, and I'm going to quote this directly from your
yeah.
book,
yeah.
relating to this experience that you've just shared with us. These are your words. You found yourself in an absolutely silent, airless place. It was a meadow, to be exact, where I was completely alone. There was not another person in sight, not another soul crossed my path. And with calm, collected eyes, I took in everything around me, the meadows waving grasses, the trees in distant clusters, birds winging their way about the sky. There was no sound, no oxygen in this place I now roamed. I was dead but alive. The silence and my lack of breath were complete. Now, that is an experience for a four-year-old to remember that and to hold that in your psyche, in your consciousness, is an accomplishment because so many people wouldn't do that. And you said it was 40 years that passed before you became fully conscious
yes.
of what this was all about. Describe what in your mind is being fully conscious.
Well, my journey obviously began when I was four, but the conscious experience of recalling it and actually putting it back together like a puzzle began in my late 20s. When I actually obviously elected to go into therapy because I knew somewhere inside I needed help. I needed to recover, in essence, recover myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me another 20 years until my mid-40s before I was really able to put the picture together in a comprehensive way having recalled this experience in extraordinary detail, almost photographic,
mm-hmm.
And recalled what you're referring to is what happened when I literally went away, when I couldn't handle it anymore, and I went down what I refer to as this black hole, my tunnel to freedom and to survival. And where I came out on the other end was indeed that meadow that was still, even as we speak, I envision it with absolute clarity. So it took a long time to put it all together, but I also write in the book, as you know, that I had made a promise to myself at the moment of, in essence, the moment of death, where I said, I will return.
Mm-hmm.
I will be back.
Yes.
And I have lived to that promise to this day. It was, in essence, a way to honor myself and to honor the life that, indeed, I have and had then.
Now, I'd like to let my audience know a little bit about your background. You are recognized as a leading authority on organizational and personal identity. You've been a group director for personal identity and brand consulting
mm-hmm.
Firm for Siegel & Gale, and you're regarded highly as a pioneer in the field of identity-based management, and you've
mm-hmm.
worked with Alcoa, Maytag, Fidelity Investments, the Dow Chemical Company, and so many others. And this book, when I went through it and I was reading it, it was an interesting combination of this is what I discovered, this is where I am, this is my evolvement, and these are, as you describe them, the eight steps. And you've
yeah.
got, right at the beginning of your book, the identity circle. That's the first thing that's here in the book. Right here, the identity circle, and it's the cycle, being, individuality, constancy, will, possibility, relationships, and comprehension, and then what goes along with each of those.
Mm-hmm.
This is a workbook that you've done.
Some people, yes, it is. It's designed to do two things. I guess, you know, you're actually alluding to a question somebody once asked me, which is, you know, Larry, why did you write this book? And I wrote it. I wrote it for a couple of reasons. One is, you could actually read the book without doing one exercise, and there are exercises, you know, at the back
mm-hmm.
of every chapter.
Mm-hmm.
You could read this book simply as a dissertation, meditation, manifesto on the power of human identity. And to really understand that and I think get a great deal out of it. And what you get from reading the book without the exercises, and I think this is an important benefit for readers, for people, is a sense of hope that, in fact, there is a me here. There is a distinctive, absolutely unique human being who resides inside of the me, and it's good to know that, and there are times I don't, and this book will help me to accept that in the best sense. The other reason I wrote it is not just to give people hope, but indeed to give people help. And because, you know, these eight questions that I ask in the book, like who am I and what makes me special and is there a pattern to my life, these are the universal questions so many of us ask in the course of our day. We never
Absolutely.
Ask it out loud, but we always ask it inside.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
my goal is to help people answer the questions. I mean, quite literally, concretely, arrive at answers that they can literally write down and do something about. So I want to give people hope, and I want to give people help. And at the end of the day, if you are, you know, serious about understanding who you are and you apply these lessons, these insights to your life, I want to give people a chance to achieve a level of happiness that is really quite extraordinary.
My guest today is Larry Ackerman. We're discussing his intriguing book, The Identity Code. And if you think you are fascinated with mysteries that you might see on television, the greatest mystery in life is yourself, believe it or not. And the exploration of self-discovery is an ongoing journey. And what Larry does in his book, he presents the eight essential questions, some of them he's just mentioned, and we're going to be touching on different aspects of this, for finding your purpose and place in the world. And gracious, I know so many times I ask these very same questions. I don't know of many people that, in fact, I don't know of anyone that hasn't asked one of these questions of themselves. And often we are given a sense of, well, just take it as it is and don't dig too far because you might get scared by what you find. You make a statement in your book, it's in your very first chapter, and it has to do with life having order.
Yeah.
And you say, we succeed, why we succeed or fail on the path we choose in life and why we feel basically good or bad about the choices we make along the way is not a random event. Now, why would you say that?
Well, as you know, the book opens on what is regarded as a pretty strong, controversial idea, and that is that we can't be whatever we want to be in life, Donna. I think the traditional, certainly American upbringing, and probably even more broad than that, you know, ever since we're children, you know, we're taught by loving parents and well-meaning teachers and sort of inspiring public figures and celebrities, you know, that you can be whatever you want to be in life, that you can be, you know, the first female U.S. president, or you can be an astronaut, you can be whatever you want to be, just, you know, work hard and stay the course and, you know, nose to the grindstone, you know, all that, and you're going to get it. The world is your oyster, whatever it is. But that's a lie. That's a lie, and I believe that you know, it's the agony of the modern person that we walk around with this myth of personal freedom, that we can be just anything we want, when the truth of the matter is we cannot. And the reason you can't be anything you want to be is because each of us is born with, indeed, an identity within us that defines what we are able to be and also sets bounds and limits to what we cannot be because it is not who we are. And that's the piece of knowledge that is not you know, consciously born into us, but that is the essence of what I'm saying. And, you know, despite the fact that we can't be anything we want to be, the flip side is we have more potential than we realize.
Aha. Uh-huh. So here we have the one statement by you saying you can't be anything you want to be. If there's going to be a woman president, just throwing something out here, then there's only one that's going to have that opportunity, perhaps at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's an aspiration, maybe there's something inside of you that is reaching for that position of greatness. Should you give up the aspiration? Maybe not, but maybe because of changes that occur in life. You look at Christopher Reeve. This
sure.
man was a famous movie star. This man was accomplishing great things. He has an accident with a horse, breaks his neck, and for the rest of his life, he is literally a prisoner in a body that will not function well because of this accident and dies almost, you know, more than once, practically. Before, but yet he has a whole different journey, a whole different evolution of his life that comes about because of this tragedy. He made choices, though, with that.
Yes, yes, yeah. And again, the idea of one's identity does not, you know, if, cracking the code on your identity is not going to say, oh, I should be a pipe fitter,
mm-hmm.
or I should be the president, or I should be a radio announcer. Or I should be whatever. It will not tell you that. It will, however, clarify what is your gift. It will clarify, indeed, what direction you could follow. I mean, people obviously say to me very often when I'm giving talks or I'm doing interviews, they say, well, Larry, you know so much about identity. What's your identity?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Good question. So my identity is this. I am driven by one need. I'm driven by the need to help people to see. That is the essence of who I am. That defines my purpose, and it indicates or it implies my place in the world. That is where I stand. That is how I live. It influences how I love. It doesn't say, and as a result of this, Larry, you should be an identity advisor or an
mm-hmm.
identity coach or an identity consultant. I had to, you know, come to that obviously on my own. But the point of identity is it sets a direction. It's like a beacon. It says, these are the things I am good at. I have powerful gifts. And they, you know, they may lead in one direction or another, but they certainly don't prescribe, you know, the job.
Well, I think that this perspective is a fascinating one. I've interviewed so many thousands of people during the years and that I've been involved in broadcasting and worked as a counselor. And it has intrigued me ever since I've been a child how you can follow certain directives as maybe society has laid out for you, and then all of a sudden you find that you're going down a path in life that in a million years you would never have even dreamed, you would have even explored, much less even sought out. And often it's our very gifts that we have that indirectly influence what we do. Now, let's go into the fact that you have eight questions here. For those of you that are just tuning into the show, we're talking with Larry Ackerman. He's calling in from Connecticut. The book is The Identity Code, Eight Essential Questions for Finding Your Purpose and Place in the World. Remember, you're the mystery, believe it or not. And your life experience is part of discovering the answers about yourself and who you are. And that's what makes this book so very, very intriguing. And if you are wanting to explore yourself, this is a book that gives you that opportunity. You have eight questions, and I'm going to just read them real quickly, Larry.
Sure.
Who am I? What makes me special? Is there a pattern to my life? Where am I going? What is my gift? Who can I trust? What is my message? Will my life be rich? These are questions that all of us will ask, one of them or all eight of them in our lives. And you address so each and every one of them in your book. But I want to stop for a minute and ask you about Erik Erikson. Now, this is a German-born psychologist. How did he have an impact on your thinking?
Yeah, Erik Erikson is certainly one of my heroes. And I've been reading Erikson for, I couldn't even tell you how many years, probably since I was in graduate school and took some courses in psychology. But Erikson's view of identity, he wrote a wonderful little book called Identity and the Life Cycle, which, if anybody's seriously interested in the whole world of identity, along with my own book, I'd recommend Identity in the Life Cycle. And in his book, he offers a definition of identity that was very, very provocative for me. He actually talks about identity in eloquent terms about the uniqueness of the individual, much like I do, and then actually correlates it to the impact of social influences and connects the two. And Erikson, and he goes on to describe all of this stuff, and it just made so much sense to me, and it really did have a bearing on my thinking. You know, as much, Donna, because of his passion for identity and how he saw identity develop, development over the course of any human being's life in different stages, and how profound an effect identity has on each one of us, whether we know it or not. So Erikson is definitely one of my champions.
I've always felt, and I say it frequently, becoming an individual, becoming aware of who you are, is one of the most difficult journeys you can undertake.
Yeah.
Because it means that you have to be brave enough to strip away false beliefs, things that perhaps are in your habit patterning, that you have adopted because grandma had it or dad had it or your teacher in junior high had it or somebody had it or the television show had it or something. It is not easy because there's always a feeling like you must compromise. The question, who am I, is such a powerful question, and nobody can seemingly answer it for an individual but the individual themselves. What would you recommend to a person that is asking themselves that question at this time? Who am I?
Yeah. Well, here's what I would recommend to your listeners, to anybody who really cares to understand the answer to that question. You really, by the way, you said it earlier, you got to want to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people will ask the question, but maybe I don't really want to know, which is, of course, a ridiculous position to take, but there is absolutely nothing but beauty inside, nothing but goodness to discover. The way to answer the question, who am I, is by, first of all, you have to create some space around you. You know, you said it earlier that we are born into this world and we are, without, before we were able to comprehend it, we're labeled by society,
mm-hmm.
by people, parents, by family, by everything, by schools. You know, we're Americans, we're Christians, we're Jews, we're Turks, we're Japanese, we're big, tall, short, man, woman, you know, girl, boy, everything. We're labels. And what you have to do to answer the question, who am I, is you have to stop in your tracks mentally, literally stop in your tracks, and strip away all the labels that you have taken for granted I call it the way that you understand how who you are is by defining yourself as separate from all others. It doesn't mean becoming a hermit, climbing into a cave, and you know, forgetting relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It means defining yourself as separate. I am a separate being. I am not my labels. I am not simply father to my son or daughter. I am not simply daughter to my parent. I am not simply all of these things. I am not the identity consultant, the radio commentator. I am simply me. And when you create the space I'm talking about, and it is, I will tell you, it's a difficult exercise because we're so bound up in our relationships. You begin to create the space so that you can actually discover and come to the insight that, in my case, I am simply Larry Ackerman. I simply am, irrespective of any label. So the answer to the question, who am I, begins with the question, who am I not, and ends with the insight that I simply am. You have to discover the I. Finding your I, and for me that obviously holds double entendre, finding your I is the first step on the identity journey, because you now have the space. It's like clearing a space in the woods to build a campfire. You have enough space to begin to do the digging that needs to be done.
You have the other question, what is my gift? And I so enjoyed this particular chapter. Because I've never met an individual that isn't talented, that we may not perceive ourselves that way because we're carrying the labels, as you have so well stated. When we're talking about what is my gift, it's so hard for people to acknowledge their talents because, in my view, and I speak of this from personal experience, what I considered what were considered gifts, I just thought, well, they're no big deal. I've got to go out here and I've got to try to become a superwoman in some way. But my gifts that I had, which I have great joy in, I actually denied to myself because I didn't think they had value. So it took a lot of years for me to get past that. And I don't know that I'm past it 100%, and I'm just being with integrity with myself, sharing this with you, so that my listeners can understand that anybody has to go through this journey. What is my gift? How does someone make it okay to accept these wonderful gifts of self that they are born with? And everybody has them.
Well, yeah, it gets to an issue that I think is pretty common with people, and that is, I think we sometimes fear our own power. We sometimes are afraid to acknowledge just how powerful we are. And I don't mean that in the sense of, control or on others. I mean we have our own integrity. We have our own power as human beings that is indeed formed by our identity. Indeed, our identity is our gift to the world. But that's a scary proposition. Do you know why it's so scary?
No, why is it scary?
I'll tell you why. Because on the other side of that discovery that you indeed have this gift, and it doesn't have to be mammoth, it can be modest, but it truly is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It means indeed that you are independent. It means that in fact, in a very real sense, you are alone. You do not necessarily need others in order to operate in the world. Now, it doesn't mean you don't need others from a relational standpoint, you know, for love and affection and camaraderie and so on. But it really comes down to something that's a little scary, which is to really own up to the fact that if I have this gift, I am responsible for doing something with it. You know?
I think that's
a big responsibility.
Yes, it is. But I like the quote you have at the first part of that chapter. And it's by Mary Dunbar. We are each gifted in a unique and important way. It is our privilege and our adventure to discover our own special light. And when I'm listening to you speak, I think how when we can acknowledge our talents, take pride in them, accept this wonderful part of us, that has nothing but joy to it, and we just allow it to be what it is and use it in the finest and best way we possibly can, it's just going to sparkle so brightly, people are going to say, I want some of what you've got.
That's what happens. You listeners who are listening, this is what I want you to know. People want this from you. People mm-hmm. will love this from you. People need our gifts.
Yes, very
others
much so.
Others need who we are.
That's so true, and that's the joy of it,
yeah.
I believe.
I tell you, I got an email this morning from somebody who just read the book, and some of these emails are it's fabulous. I love it. It makes my day. You know, these little emails that say, I finally, you know, thank you. I finally figured this thing out, and here's what I came to, and it may be not exactly in the right words, but it has done, you know, it is helping me sort some decisions and make better decisions. I mean, there is nothing. I mean, I tell you, it's better than sex, Don. It's great.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to leave that one alone.
All right.
Because I think you might have some challenges on that one.
All right.
But regardless, Larry, we are almost out of time. And for those of you listening, Larry Ackerman is my guest. The Identity Code is his wonderful book, The 8 Essential Questions for Finding Your Purpose and Place in the World. It allows you to explore the mystery of you, and you should delight and be excited about that opportunity. So I recommend Larry's book quite highly. Now, Larry, do you have a website?
Yeah.
What is it?
Same name. It's theidentitycode.com.
Theidentitycode.com, and it has just been such a delight having you on the air. Do you have something you'd like to leave my audience with before we close out?
I do. I want everybody to understand that there's no greater power and there's no greater force on earth than the force that lives inside of you. And I strongly recommend that everybody get busy figuring that out, because I'll tell you something, the world is waiting and it's ready, and so are you.
Oh, thank you so much, Larry, and I couldn't agree with you more. And if you just listen to the news at night and you realize how many people have no clue, and if each of us listening today just take that time to turn on our own light, it will make a difference that can transform the world in a very short period of time.
Yep, I'm with you.
Thank you, Larry,
You're
very
welcome.
Much for being my guest. We are going to be taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. This is an hour of Mind Power, where we like to share the best of the best with you. So, telephone line will be open in just a moment, 877-876-5227. Don't you go away now, because we're going to be back with some more good things to share with you. Don't forget, Larry Ackerman, my guest, his wonderful book, The Identity Code, a must-read if you are curious about what your gifts are and other questions that we brought forth in the interview. So go get it. It's a good thing to have in your library. Donna Sebo, we're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, it's Donna Sebo, and we have got open phone lines. If you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, feel free to call me at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And all I need from you, should you choose to call me today, is your first name or your initial. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. So we, again, 877, have the phone lines open, 877-876-5227. Now, tomorrow, I wanted to let you know who we were going to have as a guest. Gary Schwartz is going to be with us. We're going to be talking about his very interesting material, Truth About Mediums. Now, this is a man that's been very much involved in paranormal research for years. So he has some fascinating stories to share. So Gary's going to be with us tomorrow. Then we're going to be into stories, and for those of you who are regular listeners to the show, you know how much I love stories, always have, as far back as I can remember. Well, Christina Baldwin is a professional writer, and she's put out a publication called The Story Catcher. So for those of you who are interested in becoming writers, if you have a passion for novels or want to express yourself through the writing experience, you're not going to want to miss this. She just has a wonderful, wonderful way of conveying the thoughts and images that she has herself, but also how this all is so valuable. She's a storyteller telling us how we can become a story catcher. And then Bill Goff. This is a very special gentleman. I've had him on other shows that I've done. He has a wonderful book and an awesome story to tell. It is titled, the book, There's a Squirrel in My Coffee. And I'll have you know that squirrel is real. So he's just got a delightful story to share. It's tinged with some real unusual circumstances, so you're not going to want to miss it. And then next week, here are a few of the things we're going to be talking about. How to be organized. We're going to have someone sharing 1,000 best organizing tips. And also, a psychic is going to be on the air with us, sharing her personal experiences and why if you hear something three times, you should listen. Do you deal with fear? Well, we're going to be talking about that. And also, after life knowledge, we'll be touching on that. And if you are into show business, you want to know how to become a star, want to get that part on Broadway, little theater, big theater, whatever it is, Showtime, well, we're going to be talking with a professional agent. In fact, she has a book of information on that. So we have just some fascinating guests that are going to be coming up. So I invite you to tune in, tell your friends, and share the information about BBS Radio, which is an opportunity for you to listen via the Internet. And you can be at work, and you can be hearing all of these wonderful things and just ticky-tacking away on your computer. And we're so delighted that you're able to join us. So remember, the Donna Sebo Show, too, is going to be changing as of the 1st of July. We are going to be moving to a new time slot, which is 11 in the morning. I'll be on from 11 until noon. So that's changing the 1st of July. But until then, you can hear me every day from 3 until 4. Yesterday, I didn't have the opportunity to share this information. I know so many of you are really interested in eBay, and it has just been a buzz, a word for so many people. A lot of individuals, I've known of a woman that sold maternity clothes on eBay that gave her income every month that she needed. She had her techniques. I've interviewed professionals. I've interviewed a woman by the name of Lynn Drail, who's the queen of eBay. She'll be coming up on one of my future shows. I mean, there's so many different people doing so many different things. Now, I have to be frank with you. I'm not into it myself. I don't have time enough to do that. However, it's a big deal for a lot of you. Well, you need to know about some other auction online spots that you can go to, not just eBay, because we all have our own particular interests. Some of you are into antiques. Some of you are into sports. And, I mean, it's just a plethora of things out there. So here are, let's see, I've got 6 different sites that you can go to, and I'll share them with you. So if you have a pad of paper handy, which is always a good thing when you're listening to the Donna Sebo Show, and a pen, then here are the things that you'll want to know about. Big ticket items. Okay, this could be jewelry, real estate, and cars. Now, there's a site called bid4assets.com, and that's bid, the number 4, assets, assets.com. And they just recently had a diamond and sapphire bracelet, which was appraised at $3,450 that sold for $423. I know you're all out there looking for bargains, so this is just information for you. Sporting goods, are you into that? Well, there is a site called propertyroom.com. Yes, propertyroom.com auction items that were seized by the police, such as mountain bikes, golf clubs, and more. And recently on that site, a $489 Trek mountain bike sold for $110. Those kinds of auctions always have so much to offer if you know what you're looking at. Electronics, where there is a site called ubid.com, ubid.com, and merchandise starts as low as a dollar. And recently there was a compact laptop computer that sold for $588, and that was $511 less than retail. And then another one, if you're into collectibles, well, bidville.com, that's bidville.com, is apparently a one-stop shop for all kinds of collectibles. A vintage Stuart Weitzman purse going for $300 just about anywhere sold for a mere $6. This is garage sale stuff online, folks. How many times have you ever been to a garage sale and found a treasure and you found people were literally giving it away? It's because they don't want it. They don't feel like they need it. They want to just get rid of it and pay a few dollars cash and you've got it. designer goods. Auctions.overstock.com. That's auctions.overstock.com. Now, they have got all kinds of items from high-end designers. There was recently a $90 Kate Spade wallet that sold for $14. Now, let's go in for travel deals. We're coming in to these traveling times. School is out in some areas, or just about to get out in others. And so you might be looking for travel specials. Well, skyauction.com offers some real good auctions for all kinds of cruises and resort vacations. And again, that's skyauction.com. There was a 7-night in a 2-bedroom suite near Disney World that was available for just $219. Amazing. So for those of you that really are into saving the dollar and have the patience to go through all of those auctions, there are some sites for you to explore that will be just right up your alley. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little of intuitive insight, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. Now, I promised you a banana bread recipe. Now, this is what would be called the light version. If you're like so many of us, we're always trying to keep our hips expanding, you know, 45 inches more than what they are because of what we let go through our lips. So you may have to change the way you cook, or you want something that's going to taste good. You don't want to totally give up your sweet love of whatever. Well, this is a wonderful banana bread recipe, and what makes it so special is that instead of oil, you can use low-fat yogurt. So let me give you the ingredients. There's not many of them. What you take is 3/4 of a cup of packed light brown sugar, 3/4 of a cup of packed light brown sugar, and you'd have 1/3 of a cup of low-fat plain yogurt, 1/3 of a cup of low-fat plain yogurt, one egg, two egg whites, 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla extract, 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla extract, and you may want to have some confectionery sugar on the side because that always makes it look so pretty after 6. Now, this is how simple it is. You preheat your oven to 350 degrees, and you're going to need a 9x5 loaf pan with cooking spray. And I'll give you a little tip. You can either use wax paper to line the dish with if you don't want to have to clean up a mess, or you can use parchment paper. That's really good. But anyway, if you don't want to use any of that, just spray your pan with cooking spray. And in a bowl, you're going to mix your flour, your baking powder. Oh, I didn't give you the flour, did I? Okay, let me give you the flour. I missed some of the ingredients. Don't you just love it when somebody gives a recipe and they don't give you all the ingredients? You need, in addition to what I gave you, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, and, of course, 3 ripe bananas mashed, about 1.5 cups. Yeah, 3 ripe bananas mashed. And the riper they are, the more flavor they have. So, again, you take your flour, your baking powder, your salt, and your soda, and you put that in a bowl. And then in a separate bowl at low speed, you want to beat the bananas and brown sugar until they're combined. You beat in your yogurt, your egg, and your egg whites, and your vanilla extract. And then gradually add your flour mixture until it's combined, and then you pour it into the pan. You bake it 1 hour and 5 minutes, or until a toothpick inserted into the center comes out clean. And then you let it cool for about 15 minutes on a rack, and then remove your bread from the pan, and then you let that cool completely on the rack. And then if you want to make it look real pretty, then, you know, sprinkle it with confectionery sugar. Now, I like to add to banana bread sometimes nutmeg and cinnamon, sometimes a little bit of mace spice. And it's all your preference, whatever you prefer to do. And sometimes I've had friends that with a banana bread, they'll use almond extract. Whatever you want to do to add a little bit of additional flavor to it, it's fine. But this is delicious, and it's wonderful toasted, and it's great. You know, kids like it, and it's wonderful for a quick breakfast in the morning, and it's healthy. And you know what? This version is almost half the calories of what a normal banana bread recipe would be. Normal, a slice, is 420 calories with your classic recipe, and it has 12 grams of fat. And with this recipe, you only have 256 calories and only 1 gram of fat. So not only is it tasty and delicious, but you're saving all of those extra calories from going into your tum, which you would just want to do so you stay nice and trim. Okay, this is Donna Siebel, and I know we're going to be going to a break in just a little bit of time. If you'd like to give me a buzz, 877-876-5227. Telephone lines are open, and I've got some good information to share with you for some of you that are sleepyheads. Also, some information on a question that is frequently asked, can food heal? Well, of course, but you have to know what it can heal and how you can use it. But nutrition is at the total center of well-being for you and for me as individuals. So when we come back from the break, we'll talk about how food can make a difference in your health and wellness, and a little bit more of this and a little bit more of that. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, though, 877-876-5227. Lines are open. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Siebel, and I've got the phone lines open here if you wanted to call up and chat before, and that's 877-876-5227. Before we went on break, I mentioned a question that has been brought up so many times by doctors and scientists. Can food heal? Yes, it can. Well, anybody that has listened to any of the old wives' tales that have been around, I can remember a day when women were told that what they ate when they were pregnant didn't make any difference. It just didn't have any effect on the baby whatsoever. Well, guess what? Finally, some medical people woke up to the fact that said, oops, excuse me, don't drink, don't smoke, you know, got to eat good food, yada, yada, yada. I don't know why we have to go through these learning curves over and over and over again. Well, all of us just about today have heard about green tea. Now, it's been talked about as having antioxidant effects, and they have found that green tea actually contains a compound that protects against cancer in animal studies. Now, there is a molecular toxicologist, Thomas Gasowitz of the University of Rochester, that found a tea chemical, and it's about 5 miles long, and so I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but I'll give you the abbreviated version. It's called EGCG. Binds to a cancer-promoting protein called HSP90. If it sounds like something out of Star Trek, yes, I would agree, or sci-fi special. Now, what it does, this particular chemical that binds to the cancer-promoting protein changes this protein shape so that it can no longer set off a cascade of cancer-causing events. Now, Gasowitz said he doesn't know if drinking gallons of green tea will stave off cancer. He said, we've only done this with isolated cells and with animals, and it's not really clear what it means for humans. But what it's telling you, and that's one of the things that I like to share with you people about glyconutrients, is that there is a leading level of research that is delving into the chemistry of the human body. And it is something that is so very, very significant. I would like to invite you to go to my website, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the button on the left side of the screen that says glyconutrients, read the page, and then go investigate the sites that are on there. Just investigate them. Open up your mind to some information. There is science going on here, and in our era, science is very important. People want to know that something is really working. Well, here is some information about the green tea, but there's many other components out there. You have wheatgrass. You have all kinds of things that we are just beginning to understand that the old wives' tales about these foods are true. Now, what about raisins? Well, so many times we'll hear raisins are nothing but sugar. Well, of course they're made from grapes. I mean, they're just dried grapes. All right, they actually are finding that they're very good. Children, it's good that they have them in their diet because it's good for their teeth. Now, there's a microbiologist, Christine Wu, of the University of Illinois at Chicago. She and her colleagues found five natural chemicals in raisins that reduce the growth of cavity and gum disease-relating bacteria in lab cultures. And what they're working on right now is developing new grape strains that someday may be genetically engineered to contain high levels of the compounds, although she says they need more studies to show that the chemicals actually kill bacteria in the mouth. There is so much in life with real food, with the real stuff, not processed food, but the real food that makes a difference. How about a cranberry cure? I've heard about this for as far back as I can remember. Women are prone to bladder conditions. Drink cranberry juice. Have cranberries in your diet. And most of the time it was poo-pooed. Not anymore. This well-known treatment for urinary tract infections with we women is so helpful because chemicals in cranberry juice inhibit bacterial growth, and new research shows that cranberry juice can also beat back some viruses. Now, here we're dealing with studies again. Biologists at St. Francis College in Brooklyn Heights, New York, found that cranberry juice prevents intestinal viruses in monkeys and goats from attaching to and infecting cells. And scientists think it could be effective against many other intestinal viruses as well. The reality is, when you have good food, when it is fresh food, you can't beat it. It works with your body. That's what the body's meant to utilize. And when you have foods that are highly processed, there's not very much left in them frequently to really do you any good. So can foods heal? Absolutely. And I invite you to investigate about glyconutrients. But also, don't be afraid to explore on your own. Don't be afraid to try some things. I'm a firm advocate of juicing. I think it's absolutely one of the best things you can do. When I interviewed Jack LaLanne on one of my programs, and he's 93 years young this year, this guy is so vital. And a man that influenced him many years ago is a man named Paul Bragg. And Paul Bragg was the leader regarding eating healthfully and eating well. In fact, Paul Bragg's daughter lives in Hawaii to this day, and she promotes the products that her father developed still around the world. Just absolutely wonderful, wonderful things. So remember, take care of yourself. You are so special, and you're so valuable to this experience of life. You need to realize that you're going to be able to contribute your finest and your best of who you are when you're feeling your best, when you're at your optimum self. And that means you need to be strong and healthy. So eat well. Eat good food. Eat healthy food. I wanted to share with you, I know we're just about finished today with the program, but I wanted to share with you something out of Larry Ackerman's book, The Identity Code. I really liked this little identity credo, and I'd like to close the show out with it today. I'm alive, I am unique, and I am immutable even as I grow and evolve. To truly live, however, I must express myself fully, and in this regard have much to give. But to do so, I need others, and am most productive with those who need me in return. To establish these relationships, I must first be recognized for who I am, and then it follows then that I will receive in accordance with what I give. Each and every one of you listening to this show are very, very gifted. You have something very special inside of you that you need to polish and let shine. That establishes your identity, your own individuality. There's no one else like you on the face of this earth. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be aware of? And that's not being narcissistic. It's appreciating. What the Creator has given you is going to give so much more into life. So get out that mental spit polish and put up that shine, because we need your light. We need it to shine as brightly as possible, because you do make a difference. This is Donna Siebel. We're out of time. It's been wonderful sharing this hour with you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Donna Siebel here. God bless. Have a great day and shine, shine, shine. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program. And we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.